Here is the mystery, hidden for ages and generations. He says it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The totality of divinity is encapsulated in Christ. And it says the location of this Christ is in you. And the scripture is the revelation of who God is, what he has done, and of who you are. It's an album. It's a photo album. Hear the word. When you read the word, it's like beholding your face in a mirror. When you stand before the mirror, who do you see on the other side? You. But in this case, you are seeing the perfect you on the other side. Amen.
He's making you a living, walking, talking heaven on earth. Your well-being is our priority to God.
Your well-being is not just a demonstration of his love, it's a marketing strategy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we love you. We love you, we love you, we love you, we love you. Marco Predoso Stepa. I can put the scriptures up, we'll read them. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Kala
Girmanakane Yabodnakane. We love you, we love you, we love you, we love you.
Are you there? Thank you, Lord. Maybe you speak in tongues a little. Thank you, Jesus. You can't speak in tongues under your breath. If you can. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is gracious and kind. Amen. He's wonderful. He's amazing. He's amazing. Don't forget that some things are happening to you in that is atmosphere. Amen. Sometimes it's the atmosphere that is required for things to change. Do you believe that? Sometimes just being on that atmosphere helps activate, stirs things, delete things, mobilize things on your behalf. So you have to learn sometimes to just be under the atmosphere, isn't it? And just soak in and just enjoy the glory of God's presence and just worship him. Sometimes we don't know that when worship, maybe people are soaking in the presence of God. Some people are wondering, okay, when is pastor going to start talking? No. Atmospheres transform. Amen. Atmospheres change. Have you ever been in a place before? You were happy before you got there, but the atmosphere of sadness came upon you and you suddenly you were feeling sad. You couldn't explain it. Any witness? It's called the power of atmosphere. Amen. And the same thing with joy. You enter into certain places, you were sorrowful, suddenly, like mighty rushing wind, joy broke out from within you. You didn't know why you were happy. You are just dancing. Atmosphere. Atmosphere. Glory to God. Atmosphere. You see, beyond the word of God that has been taught in church, one of the things you experience and you should enjoy is the atmosphere of God's presence. The atmosphere of his glory. The atmosphere of faith. The atmosphere of joy. The atmosphere of peace. And what you are to do is so partake of that atmosphere. Listen, the level of your openness to that atmosphere affects how much you will carry home. Glory to God forevermore. That means once your heart is open and you're participating in the atmosphere, you can carry the same atmosphere with you. Glory to God forevermore. Because truly, you are supposed to carry something from church home. Amen. Beyond the words that come to your mind, something has to rest and get deposited in your spirit. Hallelujah. It says, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. That's atmosphere. When the Lord shall build up Zion. So that shows us the second ingredient for building up Zion. Zion is the church. Zion is you. In Acts chapter 20, 32, it shows us the first way God builds his church. It says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. That's number one. But it tells us number two in Psalms 102 or so. It says, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. That means the manifestation of his glory has a way of equipping, of building his church, of strengthening his church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So worship, prayer, the atmosphere of his presence is building us. Worship was going on, your heart broke And then you were crying, you were worshiping, you forget who you were, you forget where you were, you are getting built up. That's what I'm saying. You're getting built up. That's what is happening. So it's not only the teaching of the word that builds, the appearance of his glory, the manifestation of his presence builds us. The atmosphere of his presence builds us. Hallelujah. Let's see what we can do. Our time, we don't have much time. Thank you. You can go. Let's see what we can do. Glory to God. And God said, let's make man in our image after our likeness. Father, thank you for the glory and the beauty of your word. We receive, we are taught, instructed, energized, and strengthened by your word in the name of the Lord Jesus. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, this is God's mission statement for the creation of man. He's telling us why he wants to create man. Amen. Man's purpose and the clarity of his mission is very outstanding. It's unmistakable. And then verse 27 shows us what he did. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Are you seeing that? Then he explains the him. So man is generic for both the male man and the female man. Hallelujah. And that's to show you that God is gender sensitive. Amen. Hallelujah. And so what do I mean by that? When you read man in the Bible, as a lady, put yourself there. He's talking about man. Okay, it's just that Adam, the male man, came out first. So we generically refer, we culturally refer to the male man, that's him, as man. Okay? And forget that woman is also a part of man. And everything plays out in Genesis 1 and 2. It's very clear. But my point is, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Then he explains, male and female created he them. Hallelujah. Praise God. And God blessed them and said, verse 28. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Hallelujah. Amazing. So he shows us his empowerment strategy. We call it the blessing. Amen. We call it the blessing. Go to Colossians 1, 26, 27. He says, don't forget that we are reading in the middle of nowhere. You can go home and read the other part for yourself. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. So the mystery was not hidden from the saints. It was hidden for the saints. Are we together? So every time you read mysteries in the Bible, don't think it's something you cannot access. No, it is for you. Amen. It is called mysteries because Jesus had not come. The coming of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection unveiled all the mysteries. Anyone who is interested can know. Hallelujah. So the mystery was concealed in the Old Testament, but revealed in the New Testament. And then verse 27 shows us what is a mystery. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This morning we're talking about dreaming with God, right? So this dreaming with God, heaven on earth, part 1b. Glory to God. All right, dreaming with God. What is God's dream? God has a purpose. Like I said earlier, as you read through the Bible, you'll be amazed at the clarity of God's vision, at the clarity of God's mission, at the clarity of God's intent and purpose for man and for earth. Are you with me? I mean, it's so clear, it's so unmistakable. You can't miss it. God is if there's something about God that you should know, is that God is an extraordinary communicator. If you truly understand the Bible, it takes away vagueness. God is not interested in vagueness. Even earthly speaking, simplicity is the proof of comprehensive understanding. How much more God? God who is wisdom himself. That means the more people understand a concept, the simpler they explain it. You noticed it when you went to school. The lecturer assistant came to class then bamboozled you. He said, sir, what are you saying? He said, read your textbook. And then he used all kinds of jargon, all kinds of professional jargon. You were still in 100 level. He wrote the equation until himself got confused. Are you with me? Or sometimes he went through and everybody was applauding him. But it took some other people 3 days, 1 month, even the whole term. You know, a friend of mine was sharing with me that this thing I'm saying is true. That in programming class, he did computer science, that one master student just bamboozled him, that it took him another semester to understand what he was trying to say. And guess what? This same person that took a semester came out with the first class. That means the problem was not with the student. Amen. But what happened? He said the professor came the next semester and then used very simple term, very simple illustration. When he was there, he said, sir, is this what this guy was trying to explain? Why? Simplicity is the proof of comprehensive understanding. God is wisdom. When he speaks, when he wants to do something, there's clarity. There's so much clarity. That means there is no vagueness as to the purpose of man. As to God's intent for man is there in the manual and is clearly stated. The simplicity, the clarity is unmistakable. Are you here? That God wanted man to rule the earth. That God wanted earth to be the colony of heaven. Many people are not used to the term colony anymore. But I think I still grew to hear colony, a lot of the term being used. Hallelujah. A colony is like when a kingdom goes to another territory, captures it, okay, and sends an occupational troop to culture the people of that land. That place becomes a colony. Remember, Northern Nigeria, Southern Nigeria, before the amalgamation, they were all colonies of the British government. Amen. They were all properties of Her Majesty the Queen. Amen. Are you here? If are some of those territories that didn't get independence early, their anthem, everything is for the king, is for the queen. Amen. All here, we are properties of the queen. Can you imagine that? Hallelujah. But you see, that shows you something about royalty. It shows you something about colony. God has designed that earth be the extension of heaven. Death was not God's original intent. Didn't you notice that even Adam fell? even after Adam fell, they were not used to dying. You didn't get that. They were not used to dying. In those days, somebody is planning to settle down at 200 years. That's marriage, what Nigerians call settle down. You understand? It's just 200 years. It's just 200 years. You say, I'm planning to marry. Now it's time. No, it's in your Bible. 120 years. Then he got married. Then begat sons. They found a wife for him. Then begat sons. Then he lived for another 600 years. You know why that happened? They had not been cultured with death. It took time for Satan to lie to them. Of course, the nature on the inside had to work out. Are you with me? There was corruption inside already because of the fall of man. But my point is, it took time for death to conquer their body. Why? Heaven on earth. They were used to the heavenly life. So even when they backslided, the deposit of the heaven still followed them. Until death finally conquered. And let me tell you, how did death conquer man? Through the mouth. Man began to talk death. It's amazing that the age limit that the two patriarchs gave was the age that both of them died. Moses said, man's days shall be 120 years. He died 120 years. David talked about man's days shall be 70 years. That's 70 years. Peradventure of strength, 80. That was when he died. That means they lived out the manifestation of their revelation. Go and check it in your Bible. Are you with me? So it's important we understand God's original concept, original plan, original purpose. A great man once said that when the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. That means you abuse anything that you don't understand. The same thing with life. Come on now. That means when you see people abusing life, we know what's going on. They don't understand the purpose of life. They have no idea of God's intent for creating them. So God shows us his mission plan. He wants earth. He wanted earth to be an extension of heaven. And then he created man to carry out that assignment. And then he empowered man to carry out that assignment through what we call the blessing. Are you with me? The question is, was sin strong enough to stop God's intent? The answer is no. Why? God made provisions for sin. He did. In fact, from the fall of man, from the day man fell, God introduced a solution for sin. Blood. The Bible says he took the skin of an animal that was warm-blooded. With blood, that bloody skin, he covered them. To let you know that, look, it is blood that will atone for sin. He was given a prophetic type of the one that is to come, to be man's perfect sacrifice, to be the perfect sacrifice for man's redemption. Are you with me? That was what God was introducing when he took the skin of an animal with that warm blood and covered Adam and Eve. You remember, Adam and Eve had gone ahead to make fig leaves, clothes of fig leaves to cover themselves. And I told you, fig leaves itch. Fig leaves itch. That means man was not designed to provide solution to his problem. He wasn't. And every attempt to solve the sin problem, money problem, sickness problem with the wisdom of man would lead to more discomfort. You can write it somewhere. Did you get that? It will always lead to more discomfort. You know, somebody say, there are people who are not born again who are prosperous. And I say, yes, but we operate by a different set of rules. Why do you have to teach Christians prosperity? You see, when people are not sound in God's word, those who were around for Total Immersion, I told them, one of the reasons you should read the entire Bible once in a while is so you can have a broad view of God's word, of how God thinks. It will help you develop spiritual intelligence so you don't voice ignorance in the name of modern civilization. You know, there are people who say things like, Europe, they don't know God, they are not praying, and everything is working there. We in Nigeria, we are praying and praying, and things are not working. Is it by prayer? When people talk like that, you know their ignorance needs to be locked up in a cell. Are you with me? It means, you know, when people talk like that, they are not deep thinkers. They may claim to be thinkers, but they are not deep thinkers. You know why? Every time, there's what we call inductive reasoning, right? Okay. Every time you want to make a conclusion, there are things you should use. There are parameters, matrix you should use. Okay, before you draw a conclusion. Part of it is history. Okay, his history. Where is this person coming from? Or where is this thing coming from? You are able to track things from where they started. Okay, through observation and inference. Okay, come to conclusion. Are you with me? So anyone who observes, who is a student of history, will not be quick to alter things. And more importantly, if you're a student of the word, there's an intelligence it gives you to judge. When you look at things, you consider. And the eyes to which you are considering is the word. Are you with me? Are you aware that in Europe, they had 100 years of prayer nonstop? Did anybody ever tell you? Some people ran prayer chain for 100 years. What we call the modern revival that broke upon the nations of the earth started from Europe. Are you aware? The reawakening, the reformation started from Europe. Seeds have been sown. Go and read about Williams Booth. Have you ever heard of Salvation Army? And the man who started Salvation Army. Listen, in the days I was amazed. England was a corrupt land. England was a land with so much social injustice, so much poverty. Go and read it. It's just basically maybe 200-300 years ago. It's even up to, you can check. Barely 200 years, actually. It was bad. It was so bad that it was said that there was no Lord. Hope. Before I see the hope, let me tell you this. In those days, people could have 12-year-olds as sexual partners. Yes. There was no law prohibiting it. Who do you think made the law for minors and put the age that the law protects a person? It was Salvation Army. It was Williams Booth. He sponsored people in government who sponsored legislations. Are you with me? To protect young people. You can imagine. And then the whole thing went across Europe. And then social justice began to come strongly. It came from the church. When people talk as though the church has been a useless entity, it's because they don't have understanding. The church has always been the answer to the problem of the world. Are you with me? In December, I taught you about the relevant Jesus last year. Go and get those materials. What we have as the three arms of government to balance power is from the Bible now. It's from Isaiah. He said, he's our king, he's our judge, he's our lawgiver. That was where they took it from directly. Are you here? Read any book. What we have as guiding principles of industrialization, of politics all over the world, came from Judeo-Christian faith. It came from Judeo-Christian faith. Are you here? So once there's an understanding of God's intent, there are things people don't see. And by the way, since I'm still talking about that, Nigeria is in a phase. Some of the countries people admire now pass through worse scenario. Worse. Do you understand? Is it bullies, bandits? Worse scenario in some of the countries that we call developed today. Are you with me? But you see, there's something about sustaining the fire of God in the land. Things happen in phases. People are just in a hurry. Things happen in phases. With the smallest spiritual intelligence, you should know that there is a move of God in this nation. Yes. Oh yes, you should know. Somebody says it's because Nigerians are hungry. That's why they go to church. You're a liar. Haiti is a more hungry nation, but yet it was dedicated to voodoo, to Satan. Hunger really does not drive people to God. No. God has an intent for this land, and he's brewing something. He's cooking something. Are you with me? And we're a part of what he's going to do with this nation to the nations of the world. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. He has a plan. He has an intent to manifest himself to man on earth. So sin came, but God had an answer. He had an answer. I remember that was what I was saying. Sin was not strong enough to stop God. And man's answer for himself could not help him. He produced more discomfort. Very important. Amen. All right. So what is God's dream? What is God's dream? Because until you know God's dream, you can't dream with him. And I began to talk in the first service. The first thing is that God wants to make you, write it down, number one, he wants to make you a living, walking, talking heaven on earth. He wants to. That's his plan. He has made provision for that. He wants your life to be an unending stream of glory. What is heaven? Heaven is the dimension. I gave the definition in this morning. I said heaven is the dimension of what? God's absolute rule, purest love, and perfect prosperity. You got that? Perfect prosperity. Nothing missing, nothing broken. That's what heaven means. And then he gave us a prototype, Jesus, Son of the Living God. You look at the life of Jesus. Nothing missing, nothing broken. He had no consciousness of wants. There was something about his words. His life was supernatural. And you see, that was God sending a prototype. Remember, the Bible calls him the second and the last Adam. That means he's saying, this is a prototype. This is what I have in mind. This is what I'm making you into. Are you here? And then it begins with you. I believe I said it's the first service, Matthew 6 verse 10. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? In the earth. That means the coming of God's kingdom, what God wants to do on the earth begins with man. That's where we are. He begins with you. He begins with you. That whole idea that, okay, there's something God wants to do, blah, blah, that excludes men is wrong. Even the advancement of God's kingdom begins first with establishing the lordship of Jesus where? In the hearts of men. And then in the different spheres of human endeavor. So we'll talk about takeover. We're taking politics. We're taking economy. We're taking commerce. It's not so that we can now start enjoying. I say, there's a lot of money. There's job now. People are not suffering. Our roads are good now. There's light 24 hours. So what next? The essence is the souls of men. Are you with me? It's the souls of men. Because aside that, the whole thing is empty. Why? God wants to establish his lordship. He his dominion, heaven first in the hearts of men. And it begins with you. The seed is already in you. What I'm doing is watching and causing a growth. That's what I'm doing in this teaching series. The seed is already in you. Heaven has been implanted in you. He wants you to manifest it out. And it takes dreaming with God to get that done. That means you have to change the pictures in your mind. What can you see about yourself? What can you see about your identity? I spoke a lot about that in the first service. What can you see? What do you know? Who are you? The Bible is not a religious book. The Bible is an album, a photo album of a royal family with the pictures of the king and his children. That means every time you look into God's word or you hear God's word, you should see your face. Oh, you should see your face. You should see your face. God has a dream. Begin to dream with him. His dream is to make you a living, walking, talking heaven on earth. His dream is to manifest heaven to you. His dream is to make you his vice regent in reality on the earth. We read here and there were people here and there who manifested this thing, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, in the marketplace and on the pulpit. These are our examples. We have to begin to dream. Look at Daniel. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look at them in the Bible. They are people like you. They were not pastors. They are people like you, who decided to manifest a dimension of heaven on the earth. Did you read about Daniel? A king had a dream. I talked about that 2 weeks ago also. He said, "Oh king, give us time. Give us time. Give us time. We will come back to you with your dream and your interpretation." Old covenant, blood of bulls and goats. In fact, they were not even in the temple to make sacrifice. That means they were referring to former sacrifices. But yes, power. We have a fresh blood every day. It's called the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the everlasting covenant. That means the possibilities are endless. You know my passion. My passion is to equip believers for the marketplaces of life, to carry the power of God into the streets, into the offices, into the spheres, into developers' community, into politics. Are you with me? That is why you are there. You don't need to bow. Heaven is in you. Manifested. You know what Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego told the king? He says, "We are not careful. We are not careful. You are still hiding your Christianity. You have not known. You have not known. You don't understand what we're talking about. Heaven is in you." He says, "King, we are not careful to answer you this matter. We know a God. We can't bow to another God. We can't. We can't. Even if our God is not going to save us, so be it. It doesn't change anything." That means we don't judge the faithfulness of God based on what he does for us or doesn't do. He's a constant. Our hearts have been persuaded. Are you with me? We know who he is. We can bow. And the Bible says they threw them into the fire. Those who threw them got burnt. With the aid of a simple diagram, explain. They got burnt. And the Bible says they were walking. The fire only burnt the robes. Only burn the ropes. Christians, it's time to wake up. We have a better covenant established upon better promises. If you decide to do it differently, it will show. Oh, it will show. God will show up. In fact, there's somebody we're going to bring to talk to us in one of our marketplaces. A woman shows a top person in a global company, top person, handled billions. Amen. And she carried the fire to the marketplace. Some of you were in the training. She carried the fire to the marketplace. And she said something that touched me. She said, "Pastor, you people that are pastors and people need to pray and raise marketplace people and cover them in prayer, because the it attests to what I've always told you people, that the demons are more there than they are. There are no demons in church now. We've cast them to the marketplace. It's where you go to work that has demons. But unfortunately, the pastors who are in church are praying and fasting more. They are interested in the supernatural more than the Christian in the marketplace, and it ought not to be. That place is power parade. Are you aware? Anywhere there's money, there's power parade. Hope you know. Oh, Oh yes, there's power parade. Power parade. Power parade. No one of the, so she was doing in the office and somebody came and said, ah, madam, you came? Why did you come now? This place is a hot place. Oh. You can imagine. That's what you are hearing when you resume in an office. They'll tell you the last person who came here died. So in that place, it's not coming to church and clapping hand and dropping offering. They say pray or standing like this. You'll just be left with maintenance. You want to do big things with God, you will get deeper. You insist that your feet will be planted in the deeper waters of God's glory. You insist. You insist. I was here on Tuesday, I was telling you people. They say they took one man's name to Babalawo. The Babalawo told him, he said, I can't handle this man. His head is plastic. Charm doesn't touch it. Don't put me in trouble. Are you here? Glory to God. I'm talking about Daniel Shadrach. The fire did not touch them. Here's where I'm going. You know what the Bible says about them? It says, these are the men on whose body the fire had no power. I can't forget that phrase. These are the men on whose body the fire has no power. That is heaven on earth. That is heaven on earth. Are you still here? That's heaven on earth. And that heaven is in you. He wants to make you a living, walking, talking heaven on earth. Let him make you. Submit yourself to be made. He wants to showcase his glory. He wants to be that son. I was talking about Jesus in the first service. You read that the words of Jesus captivated men. Do you know it's not just for preachers, Jesus and preachers, for you too, as a marketplace person. Why should you do a presentation and then they will say next? No. That means you didn't have a chance. Oh. Are you here? You didn't have a chance. Not with a chance. That was what Jesus had. They sent men to arrest him. The people returned. They couldn't have. No, they came and sat down and heard word. They said, Kai, hear word. Che. Hear word. See wisdom. They were supposed to arrest him. They couldn't. You think that's normal? We call it utterance. Utterance of the mighty. Utterance of the mighty. Why should a Christian fail an interview? Doesn't he understand heaven in him? By the time you whine it in other tongues, you go there. If you don't know what they are saying, you turn it to gist. I had a friend back in medical school. He entered. See, this thing, he works. So his mat number is 007. That's his mat number. That's how he passed his exam. Brother, even. That's James Bond, even. Whatever he said was not important. When he entered that place, as they were talking and talking, the man just looked. He said, your number is 007. Do you like James Bond? Amen. Are you with me? We have these things available to us. No Christian should be stranded. You have heaven in you. You have heaven in you. Oh, I don't know what to do, my children. What are you saying? You always know what to do. Don't you understand? You always know what to do. You always do. And God is interested in your well-being. He is. He's interested. I'll wrap up there. Listen. To God, your well-being is top priority. It's top priority. You know why? I think I mentioned in the first service that beyond, listen, your well-being is top priority to God. Beyond it being an expression of his love, is also a marketing strategy. Don't you know God is showcasing you? He's advertising a product now. Are you here? He's using you to advertise his love, his mercy, and the glory of his kingdom. Didn't you read 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 or verse 15? He says, who always causes us to triumph? Thanks be unto God. Who always causes us to triumph, diffusing to us the savor, the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. What is he saying? Through your victory, he's dispensing the aroma of his knowledge. He wants others to know him. But your life is the fragrance. Your life is the fragrance. Your life is the fragrance. Glory to God. He's the fragrance. So, he wants you prosperous. He wants you healed. He wants you walking in health. He wants you rich. What else? Give them to me. He wants you blessed. He wants you influential. Are you here? He wants you fulfilled. Some people think God kept us on this earth to suffer so that he can try our hearts if we're able to make heaven or not. What kind of confusion is that? There is suffering in Christianity, but it's not that kind of suffering. It is a suffering of persecution. It is a suffering of walking in love and living by faith. Oh yes, it's suffering to the flesh. Oh yes, walking in love is suffering to the flesh. That is the example of suffering that Christ left us to have. Are you with me? That means when you are to be concerned about others, it's suffering to your flesh, but it's worth it. So it's not suffering of sickness, of poverty, of lack, of stress, of you say, oh, this is no, it's not consistent with the gospel, with heaven in you, with the kingdom in you, with the Holy Ghost in you, with eternal life in you. Didn't you read? He said, fight a good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. The Greek word is epilamadomai. It means to seize for safety. It means to seize for super for accomplishment. Are you here? Your well-being is top priority. It is. Why? God is advertising a product. He's advertising his kingdom through you. He's advertising his love through you. So when we talk about prosperity, you should have perspective to it. When we talk about healing and health, you should have prosperity to it and perspective to it. Now you understand why we have miracle services, why we expect miracles to happen. They are acts of his mercies, but beyond that, they are a display of his kingdom. He's advertising and marketing his kingdom. Are you with me? In the Bible, people saw miracles and turned to the Lord. It's the same thing today. Glory to God. Glory to God. Heaven in you. Heaven on earth. Living, walking, talking heaven on earth. Living, walking, talking heaven on earth. We are citizens of heaven. Glory to God. Christ is our identity. Oh, I spoke extensively about that in the first service. Please, if you are not around, get the materials. Your sense of worth cannot be from material things. No. It must come from the image of God inside you as a believer. It's not what you have on the outside. If you live in that realm, Satan would deceive you. Didn't you notice that all the three temptations in Matthew 4 that Jesus went through were all centered around identity and self-worth? Didn't you notice? How was Jesus able to overcome them? His mind was positioned right. He knew who he was. He said, I'll give you all the kingdoms if you bow down and worship me. Watch this. Momentary worship and all the kingdoms of the world. Somebody will be like, well, it's not just, if I will even use the money to worship God, we'll use the money to serve God. It's just momentary. You are spiritually ignorant. You see, there's a legality in the realm of the spirit. Jesus would have bowed down just once, but that's all that is required. A transaction would have happened. You see, many people don't understand the legality of the spirit realm. Once that happens, you have submitted your allegiance. You have declared your allegiance to another kingdom. Are you with me? Declared your allegiance to another kingdom. This is the battle of worship. Why is Satan interested or able to give the whole world to a man to just worship? And it tells you what Satan wants today. The worship of man. The worship of man. The worship. He wants to divert worship from God. That means every time you spend your time, your money, your prayer to carry men to worship God, you're a partner with God. You're a valuable partner. Are you with me? You're a valuable partner. If there are two masters, one of the greatest things you can do is to pick one and make it a servant of the other. Are you here? Glory to God forevermore. It's about allegiance. It's about worship. And we are his agents on the earth. Let me tell you something here. No human civilization can change the power of God's word. You see, the more you are carried away by the things your eyes can see, at the expense of the principles of God's word and the eternalness, eternal nature of God's word, the more carnal you are as a believer. And you have to pay attention. Are you with me? You have to pay attention. Money is important, but money can never replace the premium you place on God and on His word. Money that people can have today and not have tomorrow. Money that destroys people. Money is a test. I told you, it's both a tool and a test. So it's a revelation of your spirituality. Can you master it? And then say, Lord, your will is done. It's a revelation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There are people that what's the name of secular artists now? I can't remember their name. If they give them handshake, and the chance to take pictures with them, their body is shaking. Oh my God, oh, these people see freshness. See, you are envying unbelievers. It means you have not really encountered Jesus. You have not. There's a glory. There's the glory that the world can never explain. And let me say this once and for all. Listen, you can never judge the glory of spiritual things just by the outward money, flashiness, and flamboyance. Never you do it. Never. 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 Are you with me? Never. These are things Satan can use to daze you. That means you judge you as a man of God by how much money he has. You are gone. The problem is not the money. The problem is your value system. That means a day will come that Satan will use that to deceive you. Are you here? The same thing with spiritual gifts. Okay? Your mind has to be on God's word. If you only get excited, you know that people say, see power, see word of knowledge, see this one. They even call the color of underwear or boxer that he's wearing. Okay, and then you are not shaking. They say, now bring your money. You are not shaking. This person that knows everything. Calm down. Calm down. You have to judge it in the light of the word and in the glory. Listen, those who were around for Total Immersion, I told you one of the things that reading the word does for you is get you acquainted with the voice of the word. With the voice of the word, you can pinpoint error easily. you can. Hallelujah. See, I'm a walking, talking, moving heaven on earth declare. Have you been blessed this morning? Rise to your feet speedily. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. We're going to break bread, then go home. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you blessed? Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Just talk to the Lord in 1 minute. As the people come up. 1 minute, 1 minute. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bless you. Father, we love and honor you. We adore you forever. In the name of the Lord Jesus. You are identity. Amen. Can you close your eyes and lift your right hand? Maybe this will help you. Close your eyes, lift your right hand. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. I am who you see I am. I am who you see I am. I'm a carrier of your image and of your likeness. Heaven is in me. And through me, heaven invades earth. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Through me, heaven invades earth. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Go ahead and pray and talk to the Lord. Oh ma kevra sushta bura madele kosushta. Oh hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. It's our month of heaven on earth. Amen. Is this way all the days of October shall be days of heaven on earth. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Number one, your eyes will see the King clearly. In the name of Jesus. Number two, the force of favor is causing the earth to respond to you favorably. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Number three, the force of God's glory is raising you out of every frustration and prostration where life has kept you. In the name of Jesus, doors are open for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Speak in tongues where you are. Speak in tongues where you are. Just talk to the Lord where you are. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Seko bredile kososhta. Manda loso broktoskile. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just quickly be on your feet, bow your heads. And just bow your heads and close your eyes. Right where you are. I want to give somebody the privacy of this moment. You are in this hall or watching online. You have not surrendered to the lordship of Jesus. God loves you. Yes. If you are the only one, he would have come to die for you. I want you to respond right where you are. You are saying, Pastor, pray for me. I want my sins forgiven. I want to give my heart to the Lord. I want you to respond where you are by lifting your right hand. And we're going to pray for you right where you are. If you're watching online, there's a link that the media will put. You just click it. It will take you somewhere. Fill the forms. But pray the prayer with us. Okay? Pray the prayer with us. Pray the prayer with us, and then somebody will reach you afterwards. You are in this hall, and you want me to pray for you. You want your sins forgiven. You want to rededicate your life to Christ. You want to surrender your heart and your life to the lordship of Jesus. Just raise your right hand where you are. I want to pray for you. God bless you, my brother over there. God loves you, and this is your moment. This is your moment. Your life will not be the same. God bless you, my brother over there. God bless you, my sister over there. Don't listen to people. It's the privacy. It's in the privacy of your heart that God invades. That God invades, and he makes something beautiful out of your life. Right where you are. If you are lifting your hand, I want you to pray this prayer very loud. Others will join you to pray, but you pray the loudest. Amen. You pray the loudest. Say, dear God. Can we join them to pray? Say, dear God, I believe that you love me. I believe that Jesus is your son. He died for my sins. He was raised for my justification. Today, I declare that that same Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I receive eternal life into my heart. I receive forgiveness of sins. Thank you for saving me. You are my Father now. Declared I'm born again. My sins are forgiven. I'm a child of God. Satan has no authority over me. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can we celebrate? I saw three hands up. Can we celebrate? Amen. Amen. Now, fill those cards. Those cards given to you. Fill them accurately. Amen. And when we welcome the guests to the overflow, the guests, we're welcoming those who are watching with us for the first time. They'll be at the overflow one hall, the back of the overflow one hall. Please do well to join them there. Amen. We'd like to talk with you one-on-one there. Hallelujah.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.